Welcome back to an exciting and informative edition of Disruptive Healthcare. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. You made that kind of dramatic entrance. I like that.
Well, I'm a little bit out of breath. After y'all skipped out on the bill, I had to hang out and pay the bill, but I'm here, and I'm ready to go to work. This is going to be an exciting session today with some good friends that we already know.
That's right. But we're going to lead off with Lynn Hood with Cracker Jack Marketing. She is going to share with us some of the exciting things that happened at the Health IT Summit. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you, Lee. Thanks, Stone. It's good to see you guys again. We had a terrific time Monday night, didn't we?
That cocktail party on the roof of the chamber was fantastic. There was amazing people there, and that view was spectacular.
What a gorgeous venue.
Man, it's beautiful. And they call that the Metro Atlanta Chamber Night. That's the weather that we had specially ordered up for.
I noticed that. That was very – David Hartner, I think, was behind that, the 70 degrees in the December.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because when we went up there a week before or so to check it out, it was freezing cold up there. And I know you guys are thinking, I'm going to be cold up here doing this. We had about 150 people at the VIP party for the Health IT Leadership Summit. The VIP party is held the night before and includes the speakers, sponsors, and a great reason to sponsor the summit, and then the organizing committee. So we had about 150, and then VIPs. So if you think the head of Grady Health is a nobody, then too bad for you. But we were able to get the president and CEO of Grady plus a ton of other people on to our live broadcast that you guys did a terrific job with. So that was just the prelude to we had well over 500 people, 600 people register, well over 500 people register for the summit on Tuesday, and started off with down at beautiful Fox Theater, and started off we had Ross Mason from Henry HINRI talked about being a patient. He is so moving, 20 minutes, and everybody is just about in tears with that. Then we had Lee Acey, who is the, I don't have my notes in front of me, so he runs Mayo Clinic social media. And I'm thinking we're going to have some 20-year-old whippersnapper up there starting to talk metrics and that sort of thing. Instead, we had someone who is, although he didn't act like a grandfather, has grandchildren, and he's talking about what Mayo Clinic is doing, how they're using social media to build the image of the clinic, how they use it to drive patients in for business purposes. And most importantly, and he pointed this out, they're getting information out to people who do not know, helping them identify their disease and putting information out. Then we went into panel discussions. Let me tell you that some of the people we talked to on Monday night live streaming, we had four companies, Monocle Health, AirWatch, CardioMEMS, and CoolLeaf, who were up for the Health IT, the Intel Innovation Award.
Who took it home?
Drum roll. CardioMEMS.
CardioMEMS.
CardioMEMS.com. And Jay Yadoff has promised us he'll come on and tell us a little bit about their really breakthrough technology and what they're doing to help keep heart patients healthier and out of the hospital. So, and closed out with yet another party. So, cocktail party, it was a terrific day.
You had just a cocktail terrific party on both ends.
Oh, yeah.
We started the first cabin. The bookend, I love that.
The bookend any event.
Because why not? But the great thing was the networking that was going on and the comments from people about how tremendous our panels were. We had people that worked for months putting together their panels. We had leaders. We had new ideas being shared. It was just terrific.
So the educational component's important. The speakers are important. I guess these are some of the contributing factors of why Atlanta is the nation's capital in health IT.
You're right. Atlanta is the nation's capital of health IT. And that plus the fact that latest count from the Metro Atlanta Chamber, so if I can quote them, I can give the numbers, we're at almost 250 health IT companies employing 28,000 people. And we're looking at tremendous growth. Overall, the national growth is projected to be 40% over the next 3 years in this area. So, folks, if you're looking for a job, this is where you should be looking. Plus, we have the structure starting with high school where we had student groups who had put together we had the top four student groups that had put together an app for someone newly diagnosed with diabetes, and they competed. and I cannot tell you who won that.
It was high school?
High school
age. High school age group.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Developed an app.
Developed apps. Wow. And so they had, and those were voted on by the attendees. This is all going to be on our website. Longest URL in the world, I'm sorry. HealthITLeadershipSummit.org. Sorry. But it's spelled just like it sounds.
But that's great that you're able to take what's happening in a business sense and then trickle it all the way down to high school age kids.
We got the high school. So, and the, and I can't get everybody named correctly, but the Department of Education is working on jointly with businesses developing curriculum for the high school to start training these kids who can then go to Gwinnett Tech, Georgia State, Georgia, the whole Georgia State, Georgia Tech, Emory. Everybody is working on this and on up through advanced degrees. So whether it's an entry-level job all the way up to training vets who are coming back to people who want to get a PhD in this and run this, this is what's going to run our country. This is what's going to run our health as we all, well, except for me, of course, as we all age.
Well, it absolutely blew my mind because it was the first that I heard of it when we were doing that remote broadcast that we are the health IT capital. Why? What is it that we're doing that would compel people to be drawn to this area like that?
Well, it's interesting because we have McKesson headquartered here.
And that doesn't hurt.
McKesson is the largest health IT company in the world, in the universe, in the galaxy, wherever you want to take it. But they're huge. Well, when you have a big entity like that, you start getting spinoffs. You attract talent in, and some of that talent wants to go out and do their own thing.
Right.
Of course, it helps that they keep buying companies and bringing them in, too. But so you start having the spinoff. It really all started at Georgia. I'm sorry, I found arcane information. It really all started over at Georgia Tech, where they had some of the information leaders back in the 50s.
Wow.
And so having that technology focus here. So we claim the leadership, and we prove it with the number of companies that we have solely engaged in health IT. We're not talking about somebody that's delivering linens to a hospital.
Right, that has a division of this. This is just people who are, that's their focus.
This is, and we have, it's got to be 80% of their revenue for them to be included on the list.
Oh, wow, that's a high bar.
And if you want to see the list, go to Where Georgia Leads. Google it. I can't remember if it's .org or .net. This is a site maintained by TAG, Technology Association of Georgia, and they have a map showing you, plus it's a list that you can go through and click on and learn more about the companies.
Each one of them, wow. Mm-hmm. Now, the summit, though, was a joint production, right, with the Metro Atlanta Chamber, with TAG.
And with the Georgia Department of Economic Development. And these three organizations came together three years ago, and started the first summit and continue to work in conjunction together to do this, to really build the community. And it's so, and the whole idea is we're not trying to make money here with this. The idea is that we're bringing the community together. Mm-hmm. So price was under $100 and included cocktails.
That's fantastic. So now what happens on the backside of this event? How do we keep the energy going, the momentum going?
Well, there's a couple things we have going on. One is that we will be posting the videos from the event, which was live streamed thanks to GNAX. GNAX was the host for that. So we live streamed that. We have high res that will be going out on the website. Two, we had a tweet chat prior to it. So we'll have the Pound Georgia Health IT. We'll be continuing this, and we're going to continue to try and reach out and bring people together. And three, there's this really super radio program that's focused on disruptive health, which will include a huge health IT component along with some bioscience and
medical device
things.
That's right. We're going to be doing that weekly on Fridays at 9:30.
That's correct. So good setup.
Fantastic. So can we start talking to our next guest?
I was going to say, and with that, let's get the program going.
Let's get somebody who's experienced the summit and let them talk.
So who did you bring with you?
Lisa, why don't you introduce yourself?
I got Lisa Terry. She's with Inova Medical Technology. We met her at the cocktail party. How was the summit, Lisa?
The most fun thing I did was muscle my way into your radio.
I noticed that. You weren't on the guest list, but somehow you showed up and were the star of the whole thing.
Thank you. I enjoy being the star. Yes, yes. I I do indeed. But, you know, thank you for the introduction. I just can't wait to hear what I've got to say next. So
I'm excited too.
Thank you. But before I begin, I just want to let our audience know out there that, you know, both I and they have a job to do. And so my job is to talk and theirs is to listen. So the goal here today is, you know, the challenge truly for me is to finish before they finish their job. So we're hoping that they get through all the way. So I have to open with a little comic relief to relax my nerves. I'm a first timer on the radio, except for Monday night, but that doesn't count because that was a party. So,
well, maybe she'll get out of her shell this time around.
You know, what we should do is start putting in a glass of wine in everybody's hand when they walk in the door, spike their coffee with a little something in the morning, and
I don't know. Very relaxed, shot of tequila goes to the head quickly. That'll work fast. So,
First, why don't you tell us about Inova Medical?
Sure.
Give us a brief overview of what you guys are doing.
I will. Going to get to that point. Wanted to just kind of lay the groundwork for a minute to give you an understanding of what we do. So, you know, before I just give you that direct answer, I think we can all agree that to solve any problem, you first have to recognize that there is one. So I don't think any of us would dispute that the state of our healthcare system is in cardiac arrest. We're in that business.
Well said.
Yeah. For me, the lines really, truly, between having good health and having access to good healthcare alternatives have really blurred. I mean, I'm not sure if it's our healthcare system debacle that's, you know, causing the increase in heart attacks, or if it's the cost of heart attacks that's causing alternative healthcare options.
Could go either
filibuster,
way.
You know, truthfully. So, you know, it's a vicious circle. So, you know, we're here to solve those problems, and, you know, I'm happy to tell you how. In all seriousness, you know, truthfully, we have come to a historical crossroad where the need and demand is growing, given the fact that for the first time in history, there are more than 100 million people over the age of 65 in the U.S. And that's just creating a tremendous burden on our Medicaid system. We simply don't have enough cardiologists at this stage either, at a current estimate of under 8,000 number in the U.S. to meet the demand that's growing in the U.S. Heart disease category. American Cardiology, College of Cardiology this year put out a study and recognized that over the past 5 years, there's been a steady decline in cardiology entrances to college. And for the first time in history, it's setting up a serious health care and greater financial crisis if we don't act now.
So are they not getting – why are they not pursuing the career? Is it not as financially rewarding as it used to be? Or
is it
just a pain in the butt to be a cardiologist? Or?
Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons, I think, that go to the economic state of our country. I mean, that's largely it. I mean, the unfortunate other flip side of that is the entrants that are going in, surveyed going into the colleges, say that it's about the money, not about the Hippocratic Oath of do no harm, because cardiologists have notoriously been known to make the most amount of money. So,
and it's not just cardiologists, it's all doctors and nurses as well. We're looking at a serious shortage of medical care personnel as that number of people who are over 65 continues to grow at an alarming rate. And so we're looking at an increased number, increased demand, and a lower supply of doctors to take care of us all.
If only there was a technology that can bridge this.
If only.
If only.
Truly, you invited me here without knowing at all fully what we can provide. But the good news is that Inova Medical does solve both the cost side conundrum and provides an FDA-proven non-surgical alternative to those suffering with certain cardiovascular disease conditions, specifically classified as angina, and we are the only company in the industry with clinical evidence and FDA approval as an effective treatment for congestive heart failure as well. So that, in the U.S. alone, accounts for about 27 million people currently diagnosed that are potentially treatable. Inova Medical in September of this year acquired CardioMedics, Inc. CardioMedics was the 31-year ECP industry founder. Through market-leading external counterpulsation technology, which they were the founding technology manufacturer, we now manufacture, market, sell, and service this clinically relevant FDA-cleared alternative for
this
CVD
patients.
This gizmo
is external. It's non-invasive, non-surgical? Mm-hmm. Yes?
It is non-surgical, non-invasive, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it. If you'd like, I can describe for you.
I was going to say, how does it work?
How it works.
And do you guys call it a gizmo internally, or you probably don't even use that technology?
We've got some very interesting, you know, it's funny. I mean, this is too funny, but our president, John McCollum, kudos to him. We hired him from CardioMedics, and they just came out with a new technology. They spent several million dollars in the last 2 years to create some proprietary differences. We're the only portable device, which removes a barrier to market entry in the physician office. You don't have to have an exam bed size room. But the model that we're working on is called the 4500 GS, and the GS, he said, stands for geezer squeezer. So that's Yeah, pretty funny. But yeah, it actually works. It's a series of blood pressure cuffs that actually go around the lower extremities, the calves, the thighs, the buttocks. It's calibrated to the tolerance of the patient. There's ECG lead wires that are put on the patient. It's monitored through very high-end technology. We have an iPad interface for remote viewing capability as well. What it basically does is handles the blood pressure, you know, the shear rate of your blood, and helps to expand collateral and arterial pathways. And to when it does that, it basically expands those arterial pathways around blockages in the heart. What's happened over the last many years, you know, 31 years since the company first put ECP into the market. In fact, it was, devised by Harvard researchers and patented back 40 years ago as an alternative to invasive balloon angioplasty. And since then, there are, in the last 31 years, there have been 525 clinical trials that have been conducted, and all of which have secondary outcomes. So one of the most interesting outcomes, and we'll be seeking a 510K clearance on this when we finalize our additional randomized trials on both diabetes patients and erectile dysfunction. One of the first signs, for instance, in men of heart disease is erectile dysfunction. It's pressure and flow situations. Diabetes is also very cyclical. Most people that have a heart disease condition typically, you know, starts because of their bad diet, their bad health, they're obese, and it creates a cardiac condition, which then can easily go into diabetes, and one can come before the other. So the secondary outcomes are being, you know, really measured, and there's a lot of clinicals that are very exciting right now. One of our competitors actually, I believe, just recently filed for a 510K on diabetes. The glucose tolerance factor is definitely benefited, but so is every other vital organ in the body. You know, it helps to increase blood flow to every vital organ. So there's improvements in brain, lung, heart function. Quality of life is extended. Most patients are able to get off of nitrates. And in three separate five-year follow-up studies, that is, you know, the majority of individuals, if they maintain a healthy diet, exercise, and lifestyle, will never have to go backwards. So it's a huge benefit to our economy as well. You know, we're actually – I've been involved personally over the last 6 months with the World Health Organization, who – a couple of years ago, sponsored a first-ever health summit, similar to what you all did this week, which was so fun to be involved in.
Not as good, just similar.
Yeah, no. That whole world thing. You know.
Well, Lynn and I were there. So, and by the way, Lynn,
and
you
how
know.
Fun. How could that not be fun?
Well, you got me in here under false pretenses, by the way. I need to take issue with you. You told me this was the girls' power hour, and so.
Sorry.
You know, I mean, you guys are just messing up our limelight here, okay?
I mean, we're going to just run right over.
I'm just saying.
We can leave.
Yeah, Stone and Lee already know that I have the capacity to do that. So,
actually,
yeah, well.
with the two of us, you probably could leave for an hour or two and come back.
We'd right.
We'll be
on the same topic. Yeah, so just, you know, do the zip it move if I go on
Don't
too
worry.
Long.
We
so.
Have another show at 11, so.
I'm just going to roll right into that one. Disruptive business. Got a few things to continue to talk about there, too. So anyway, but, you know, we've got a lot of exciting, you know, opportunities because of the non-invasive, non-surgical alternative to invasive surgery. I mean, economically speaking, several years ago, before a Curve study was produced that really began changing the face of health reform, which right now have mandates for moving surgical and specialty care focuses to patient or alternative care focuses. So the move with implementations in our Health Reform Act to begin January this coming year are to seek and out alternative preventative and or alternative practices, non-surgically speaking, before
right.
going to surgical
right in
process.
That sweet spot.
It really is. So we're you know, success is where timing meets opportunity, you know, and we're right there right now. I mean, mm-hmm. It's been kind of a stalwart industry. There's been just a handful of players. You know, we bought the originating founder. Our proprietary technology is absolutely superior to anything on the market. It's rather old and outdated. I mean, truly, it really is. I mean, we're the only iPad remote viewing capability. We can, you know,
Can you talk a little bit about that remote viewing? Is there an opening there for the new trend in telemedicine where you have
absolutely
like you can have somebody in a rural area, maybe there isn't a cardiologist there, but somebody can facilitate this, and then a cardiologist in some other location could actually be looking at it. And then
there is. Our data and the reporting off the system, et cetera, is actually built in to upload, you know, to a cloud-based server. We have access to all that data, which has a great, tremendous exponential degree of implications, you know, for additional discovery with patients with similar tendencies like we've discovered on secondary outcomes on clinicals. I can't go into a lot of details, but, you know, suffice it to say that, you know, we're working outside of the ANOVA medical realm right now until we've finalized certain things. But there is diagnostic, you know, imaging that is available that we'll be working to tie in together so that, you know, your EMR, your diagnostic imaging, your data, whether it's report data, whether it's x-rays or it's CAT scans. So our goal is to get there, you know, very quickly, because that is definitely the trend in that direction. And it works together with the HIPAA Portability Act, you know, where there's implementation for every physician, practice, hospital to go digital. By 2015. You know, it's a scaled implementation. So every patient record has to be digital. So we're definitely right there ahead of the curve as to devices. Most medical devices don't capture that data without some external device to capture and hold it. So
doesn't it cost a blue fortune to even go to market with all this? I mean, we stopped by Radio Shack on the way in this morning and we're doing a radio show. But, I mean, it must cost a ton of money just to get to market before you ever make any money in this business.
You know, surprisingly, we've kind of moved past that high barrier to enter market by acquisition. You know, we were under a joint venture exclusive partnership with CardioMedics and then, you know, looked at our cost side approach. I mean, we started out, you know, at a wholesale buy cost, you know, when we had some discounts for volume. We became their sales and marketing arm. It became more beneficial for all of us to move to acquisition because our cost side literally picked up a 76% profit margin going to manufacturing rather than JV partnership. So our model is actually very unique. To answer your question, we've got about a 6-month, you know, lead time where we're working on investment capital. The program that we have is called the Pulse Program, and it's very unique in the industry. And that's going to be a primary driver that really sets us apart. I mean, we've overcome a lot of the pushback already from physicians on the space issue. Most physicians don't want to allocate a physician office for an exam bed, which is what the other competitors actually provide, with old school technology, which requires supplemental, you know, attachments and additions and even electrical components. I mean, it's crazy. But ours is very simple. It's portable, you know, room to room kind of thing. But the benefit to our Pulse program truly is that we're placing these units for free in physician practices. The cost has been average $55,000 to $85,000 per device for physicians on a capital cost.
Right.
We're working on an operating budget level at this point, you know, so it's easier to get into hospital systems. You know, already this is found in the Mayo Clinic and Stanford and Yale. I mean, this is a very, you know, highly credible device, but, you know, where you've seen it all these years, and I'll give you an example and an analogy here in a minute as to why there's been an issue, but you know, the capital cost is difficult. Getting into a hospital and take you 18 months to get approved at that kind of capital cost.
Right.
So if you go into Mayo, you know, in the past you've had a surgery, you're not amenable to additional surgeries, you've got refractory and angina, you've got congestive heart failure. typically, you go to the Mayo Clinic for specialty care, you're going to get, you know, stuck in their critical care unit. They're going to put you on ECP to get you out, get you better, and get you home. So what does that tell you? You know, but the evidence supports this use as a preventative, as a therapy for those that are not amenable to additional surgeries for vascularization issues and other things. But it also is a long-term maintenance program as well for people that want to do it. Most people end up going back on the ECP every 3 to 5 years just because it makes them feel so much better. Yeah, so
how does it work for the patient? Are they go one time?
The therapy is actually a series of 35-hour sessions. So some do it 1 hour a day, 5 days a week for 7 weeks. Others do it 2 hours a day for four. It is reimbursed by Medicaid, Medicare, you know, CMS.
What's
average
it feel like for the
54.
Patient?
You know, it's a energizing, I guess, is what you could say.
I was going to say, it might be like
pulsating.
A massage, right?
It is. You know, interestingly, I saw several news clips even recently. There's a big move, as I'm sure you guys are aware, in alternative care. You know, access to the internet, access to our own health care.
Right.
People are taking more control. I mean, fact is, 56% of our U.S. Population has no health care. So they are withholding surgical procedures. They have to. Basically, the majority of us are forced to look for alternatives to health care. Fortunately for us, this falls in that category as well. You know, Progressive Medical Center here that you all know, they're a test market. We'll be implementing, you know, machines in their practice here very soon, and they're the largest alternative practice, they have MDs on staff, but they see the benefit of preventative measures. So the, you know, beauty is that we hit all of those marketplaces, you know, those that want a preventable treatment, those that need to be covered in, as an alternative to cardiac surgery. So, I mean, we're excited about the potential. You know, a lot of our investment is going into the development of additional 510Ks for up to a dozen clinically evidenced other modalities that it treats. And there's very exciting evidence that supports the effective treatment for Alzheimer's and Parkinson's patients as well. So, you know, it goes to macular degeneration. I mentioned diabetes, erectile dysfunction. So we're going to hit those two prime markets. I mean, erectile dysfunction alone is 9.8 million men right here in the U.S. And over a 20-year course of treatment, that can cost an average of $80,000. A treatment course here is $5,600, you know, ECP. So CMS reimburses at that rate for those that are qualified, you know, under heart-related conditions. As an elective component, don't tell me there's not a man on the face of the earth that wouldn't pay that to get his life back.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So, I mean, there's a huge elective component there that we'll be exploring.
For lots of wackier things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, our primary market, to be honest with you, is the low-hanging fruit. You know, the credibility has been established in the marketplace. We want to, you know, absolutely explore that. There's enough people that need help there now. And it goes in line with the non-surgical alternative you know, health reform that's in line. So
Lisa, if I'm a patient, let's say I have a blockage in my heart, mm-hmm. and my doctor talked to me about putting a stent in, and I'm not, you know, I don't want him going up my leg and doing that. I don't want to have a stent there. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they become blocked up again. Mm-hmm. I go in for my first treatment. Mm-hmm. What happens when I get in that room?
The ECP? Mm-hmm. treatment. You'll be put on a bed. Mm-hmm. We actually have, we call them our salon chairs because they're adjustable. So it feels like, you get a facial chair almost. Mm-hmm. So you'll sit on the bed and the physician's assistant will wrap your body. There's three sets of cuffs and it's kind of like a blood pressure cuff,
right,
if you will,
right.
that wraps around your lower extremities. And you'll lay there comfortably, just listening to music, sleeping, whatever you like to do. And they put an ECG lead wire on you, and then they'll hook you up to the machine. And, you know, it's basically, you know, pressure. You'll feel a little, kind of like a pumping action of a blood pressure cuff,
right.
if you will.
So since I am not your company and I don't have to worry about the FDA slapping me for what I say, I understand where you're so when it does this, and I'm not a scientist, so I'm going to try this out. So when it does this, it's basically like trying to force something through a tube, and that constant pressure is what in decrease in pressure is what helps loosen up the clot and move it along, break it down. Is that?
Let me see if I can explain it in a layman's terms. Hopefully you can understand this. This isn't too scientific. I'm not a scientist either. I'm a business developer. I'm a sales and marketer, and I see the opportunity, okay? So we've got other clinical development specialists on staff. But, you know, what we do, once you're wrapped with the cuffs, place an ECG lead on the patient, and what happens is we time the cuffs to inflate distal to proximal during diastole. The patient lies on the bed, the exam table, and again, sleep, watch TV. It's not painful at all. The rapid inflation and deflation cause a shear rate effect, which encourages what's called arteriogenesis. This is the formation of the existing natural bypasses or collaterals that will alleviate the chest pain as well as other symptoms. So the therapy benefits all other organs of the body as evidenced by over 2,000 published studies on ECP. And as I said before, the more than 525 clinicals, and currently there's 9 in recruitment for additional ECP benefits.
But the straps are only on the lower body.
They are. That's correct. Yeah. It's actually so amazing that something's so simple. But I learned a long time ago, you know, Albert Einstein once said, you know, the genius is in the simplicity.
Have you ever had it done to you just to feel what it feels like?
I have. I have, yeah. It's actually kind of invigorating. I mean, you know, it really is. I mean, there's medi spas that have opened just for this specific purpose for ECP.
That?
Yeah, you know, there's a sports star. Yeah. I want to say Shaquille O'Neal actually has funded and helps co-sponsor a group that's, I can't remember the number, 8, 10, 16 different units.
Because they see it as something that's enhancing their performance or helping their recovery.
And we're actually kind of, yeah, vetting that out right now. Actually, my partner, George Nelson, he and I have been together for 7 years. He has been in a lateral industry in the dental side of the business for about 12 years at this point. But that's kind of his baby right now, looking at the sports enhancement effects. But what we do know, you know, specifically is, you know, that it helps to increase recovery time.
Right.
You know, which, you know, Chipper Jones would have appreciated, you know, being when his arm went out a couple of times.
Well, that's the thing. Professional athletes, if you can improve their recovery time, That's a,
it's performance enhancement.
Right.
I mean, without the drugs,
right?
You know, so there's definitely beneficial there. I can't speak to the, you know, clinical evidence supporting all that. There are secondary outcomes that do support that. We have to submit to the FDA additional randomized clinicals to be able to get approval to market it that way.
And we don't want you to get in any trouble with
the
FDA.
No, all I can say is what we know is covered and what we know clinically it effectively treats.
Or make unsubstantiated claims. But wow, very interesting.
Right. I think we should put these in sport clips. Remember the franchise that kind of caters to men and they have the sports and all that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Because, you know, I pay extra to have the pretty girl do my hair with that smelly shampoo and watch the game. So, you know.
You just want somebody touching your hair.
Exactly. But I pay a little extra for the cuffy thing, right?
The cuffy thing.
Well, no, but the professional athlete, if you can get them to play one more season, that
could
be $10 million to them.
Yeah.
So they'll pay that in a blink of an eye.
No question. Draws more fans, more money all around. So, yeah, it's all about the money,
like
typically,
it.
You know. Yeah, so it's a fantastic technology. We're very excited about the potential. You know, the beauty is that we're doing what no one else has done in medical device sales. You know, medical device sales, it's kind of, in my mind, an old stodgy industry. You know, there's been no disruptive mix-up, okay? And disruption, you know, is challenging the old school methods of doing things, okay? And we're very disruptive, okay? I've been that way all my life. My mother used to tell me I colored outside the lines as soon as I got a pen.
In fact, I bet your teachers tell you you were disruptive in class.
And my six-year-old, oh, my God, he is as diabolical as they come. My mother said, he's you, honey. He's just you. I'm like, oh, Lord
help
us.
And when my mother says things like that, she laughs. And it's kind of that.
She does. It's diabolical. That's it.
It's
like payback.
Yeah, like back at you. Right? I know. I mean, if I would have had him first, I wouldn't have had three others. That's for sure. Oh, my God. I do love him. Absolutely. But, you know, I challenge myself with my own, you know, psychosis. But nevertheless, it works for me. We enjoy our working relationships with our team. You know, we have a great, great team. We call ourselves the ECP Dream Team. We pulled the almost a decade. John McCollum, he was with CardioMedix as the president and CEO, and he led the charge to change the technology to create all of the benefits of the advanced technology we see in our unit today. He led clinical trials and other things that are proprietary to our unit as compared to others. And, you know, one of the really, you know, important things in our focus, where we can truly focus today, okay, where we know, again, low-hanging fruit, FDA clearance, reimbursement, et cetera, you know, what we know is, you know, the hospital cardiac rehabilitation departments, because of Obamacare, unfortunately, on that issue, there's another beneficial side on the back end to the new reform, but currently it denies reimbursement for chronic readmit patients. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, most people don't understand the implications fully, but, you know, it costs hospitals hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to accept hospital readmits. But ECP addresses chronic readmits because each, you know, the staff will be physically touching or recording the vitals for those patients each day for nearly 2 months and will recognize symptoms and then ECP's proven benefits to get them out of the hospital so that they don't return, which is problematic. You get a lot of indigent care patients that are in there, and the hospital systems are burdened with the ability to be paid when they don't have a Medicaid reimbursement from people that are insured. So, you know, it's just a vicious cycle. But Inova is the only company with a published study in supporting clinicals, which evidence that we're the only industry manufacturer with a patented gradual pressure regimen proven to reduce hospitalization and achieve a reduction in that rehospitalization rate of over average 87%.
And Lisa, so. I was going to say that one of the things that impresses me so much about Inova is that clinical data, that there's a lot of, when you start looking at alternative treatments, you start hanging people by their heels to cure their back pain, start manipulating, there's all sorts of disruptive.
Holistic.
Yeah, there's a lot of
creative.
Interesting.
Creative is good. Creative.
And hopefully not harmful treatments of people to try and, which I think is super. But to have the, be able to do something alternative that has that bulk of proven data behind it with clinical trials.
Right, that's not anecdotal.
Yeah, with papers, is just tremendous because the medical field is, they like their proof.
Let me tell you what's really tremendous. There's no device that I've researched, and I spent a good 6 months just doing, you know, diligence and researching before I decided to resign from the group that my partner and I work for. He's still, you know, running that company as well and together with me here. But the, you know, beauty of this, and we vetted this out fully because this was kind of a convergence from what we did, but we were taking transferable marketing models and successful models, doing this what we call a utilization lease program, where it's assistance where we put it in for free, but I'll get there in a second. The point here is that the 80% average success rate for patients is just unheard of in medical therapy, medical devices, medical surgery. You know, the mortality rate alone within the first year following a bypass is 36%. You know, and these are numbers the American Heart Association points out. So, you know, the evidence is clearly supporting the fact that alternatives, the time for alternatives is really now. I mean, the AHA, you know, in April put out a study, a five-year follow-up on patients that had surgery, and they looked at backgrounds and history and everything else. 50% of the patients that underwent surgery, they found, would have been helped by diet and exercise changes alone. No surgery. 85% diet, exercise, and nitrates. ECP will largely eliminate the need for nitrates on an ongoing basis, give you a better quality of life, get you back to work, and that helps our global economy. You know, the World Health Organization, the World Health Summit, the reason all these mandates are in place for the top G20 countries, including ours, is mandated by the UN, with implementation deadlines to support healthful practices and exhaustion of other primary care or alternative means before seeking surgery. They recognized four non-communicable diseases as the top global economic risk to our world, which were cardiovascular disease, hypertension, diabetes, and cancer. And ECP uniquely effectively treats three of the four. No other device can say that. So I'm in the program development implementation board right now. I've got a paper due next Thursday before the conference here, the 21st, and be held in London, which our Secretary of State actually is expected to attend, so we'll see how that goes. Secretary of Health, excuse me, to show what they've done over the last 2 years since the first summit to implement these changes, and some of which are inclusive in the you know, current health reforms. So there are some beneficial sides to the health reform, including the move to preventative care. So we're right in that sweet spot right now, and it's ECP is a prime fit in the marketplace.
Now, you mentioned the affordability of ECP. Can you talk about if they went to surgery? Like, what's the cost of that if they...
Well, you know, it depends on the patient. You know, the reality is that a standard angioplasty with a stent procedure, you know, can cost you, depending on the physician, you know, $25,000 to $40,000 on average. A standard bypass, single bypass, you know, $50,000 to $80,000. A double, triple bypass, upwards of $100,000. So, you know, the ECP is a cost savings of 75%, you know, on average. When you're talking about a reduction in health care and recovery costs to that extent, right, you know, and looking backward in time, you know, 3 years back before the COURAGE study was put out and all the health reform initiatives were put out there, you know, it... To understand any motivation, follow the money trail. I mean, let's just be real, okay? They're looking at the healthcare because of the money motivation factor, because $467 billion was spent in cardiac interventions alone.
So as long
in
as
one year, 3 years back.
As long as we're being budget conscious, Lee and I get our nitrates from bacon.
You're going to have to come to our office and get some ECP, okay? You need to eradicate the effects of...
maintenance program.
Right, right. That's breakfast, heart attack on a plate, just for...
So maybe you could be having the ECP while you eat your bacon.
While you eat your bacon.
It's like counter...
Right, and watching a movie called The Trifecta, if anybody here is a fan of old Seinfeld, you know, yeah. Yeah, you know, we are really enjoying the benefits, as do our, you know, stakeholders in Inova, you know, from physicians to investors to patients, you know, providing a free machine with a back-end, you know, utilization lease. Physicians are assured that qualified patients, you know, receive coverage. I mean, the average reimbursement rate per hour is $151, and that it's higher even here in Metro Atlanta because it's driven by demographic, you know, that CMS reimburses. But what that means to a physician, you know, annually, on an average, three new patients a year, okay, and that's after 15 years of sales data. Oh, I forgot to mention the ECP Dream Team part included not only John McCollum, but David Gregory, who came over from ACS, who was our nearest competitor. He was the 15-year industry sales leader and in direct ECP. And that's a hard job. I mean, to walk in and sell a physician a $55,000 to $85,000 unit, capital cost out of pocket. So he placed the most number of units in the industry over a great period of years. And he's just a solid Georgia boy and as wonderful as they come. But, you know, he is super excited, came on board with us. And I won't tell you what talks we're having with the other competitor, but one of them's a blip on the radar. So, yeah, I'm not going to go into all that. But we have a tremendous team, tremendous experience, and opportunities for physicians to earn upward of $180,000 a year.
And when you're talking, which takes us back to where we started with this, which is there's a shortage of doctors because their costs, they keep getting reimbursed less and less and less. So when you can offer them something that brings more money into their practice, it gives them a lot more freedom, because one of the things they don't have to do is rush from patient to patient to patient to patient. they have a chance to sit down and talk to you a little bit. Mm-hmm. It gives them some cushion, and it's a better incentive if you can see that they're making more money.
Well, competitive advantage for us, too, is the remote viewing capability, you know, on the iPad device, because a PA doesn't have to sit there, as with competitive devices, and be stationed in front of a monitor for an hour. So there's benefit because she can be doing something else that's, you know, not just an overhead suck, you know, while she's sitting there doing nothing but watching a screen. So there's benefit to the physician on the overhead component side, too, in addition to, you know, testing. I mean, there's a standard series of like 7 tests, you know, typical stuff, your history, blood pressure, you know, that kind of thing. But the average reimbursement on a test for those is about $712 per patient. Average physician is going to test 10 patients to find 3 qualified. Okay, so if you look at the testing income component at over $7,000 a month, you know, now you're near $90,000 just on additional testing income with simply 3 new patients per month. And that has been the low average, you know, minimum that a physician will put on after 15 years of data has been compiled. So it's very exciting for all concerned.
So, you know, the important thing is when you need to tell people where to find your website.
Yes. Thank you. I will. Are we ready to wrap? I had one quick other point. Do you
have what's your other point?
60 seconds. I wanted to make just an analogy. It's a good point.
Oh, you know, in that case.
It goes to oil and money. So, yeah, it's always good. But I wanted to share that the benefits to our stakeholders is similar to the world of energy investors who get in at the right time, you know, where preparation meets opportunity. Pretty much a definition of success. But our stakeholders are the beneficiaries of incredible investment, return on their investment, experience greater quality of life in addition through improved health. But, you know, what we agree on is we all enjoy good health through a variety of means, you know, health, diet, exercise. But bottom line, good blood flow and oxygen are essential to life. So, you know, we're unique among medical device therapies in that we act as that passive form of exercise with a 4-to-1 ratio on that basis, by the way. So don't get lazy and just go do ACP. You still need to take care of yourself.
I can cancel my gym membership.
Stone was looking way too excited up here. It's like, what?
I'm getting wide-eyed on this.
We could be doing it while we're doing the show.
Passive exercise. That sounds like
it. Now you're talking my language.
Yeah, we are just in expansion phase at the moment. So, you know, we are expanding to meet demand. We've already exceeded our first year sales projections. So between David and John, who've just been tremendous,
and
we're working on second year sales goals since
and
our acquisition.
You don't
discount
your contribution.
Right. When's the last time?
Am
David?
I a celeb now?
Oh,
can
yes.
Can right? Really? Can I collect money for my autograph?
Think so.
Yeah.
If you can, let me know how.
Yeah. But you know, a really important point here is that we're going to you know, help the Atlanta local economy here. You know, we're Atlanta Business Radio. We're bringing jobs here. We've got 20 people that we're going to need to hire here over the next year. We've got a manufacturing facility that's a temporary or a contract facility in California where we are bought CardioMedics. So we are transitioning as we speak, but they're not going to be able to keep up with our demand at the current market penetration rates that we're at. So, you know, we'll be scouting 20 to 30,000 square feet of warehouse. So, you know, Atlanta better be nice to us, you know.
What a great problem to have, huh?
Yeah. So, but, you know, so in addition to our staff, administrative corporate, we're going to have warehouse staff as well. So we'll be helping to benefit the local economy here as well. So we're real excited about all of our opportunities and
but
meeting you guys with just a bonus this week. Exciting.
Well, you're seeing
you.
A benefit of being here in Atlanta with all.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a lot of skilled people here that I'm sure have helped you grow the company as far as you have so far.
You guys are going to help me grow and expand just because you're going to promote me.
Exactly.
Thank you. No, we absolutely have. You know, I mean, Dave Hartnett, I got to tell you, with the Metro Chamber over the last you know, month has been just a superstar. You know, just
so your involvement in the summit was positive?
Oh, absolutely positive. Yeah, very, very much enjoyed it. Came away with a lot of information. You know, spent time, honestly, I have to admit. I mean, I didn't end up sitting through all of the sessions. I was pulled away by introductions made to me by Dave for outside meetings. So all very, very opportunistic and very centered. Just at CardioMEMS. Matter of fact, I have a meeting, the award winner there, I have a meeting with them next week to explore the convergence of their technology together with our devices. So, you know, there's a lot of good stuff going on. But, you know, I'm a research junkie. Ask anybody who knows me. I can cite statistics. You know, I can't find my way out of a paper bag. Thank God for a GPS. Mm-hmm. But the good thing about Atlanta, truly, it's number two as the lowest cost of doing business for medical companies in the country. So to your earliest question, you know, Stone, the benefits in Atlanta, one, you've got weather, you've got business, you've got industry, you've got beauty, you know, aesthetics, you've got a really great climate, you've got great people, great schools, and a very low cost of doing business here. So,
and we got Lynn Hood.
Is this radio?
You didn't even give me what?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That was her punchline.
Oh, I stole her thunder.
No, you did not. I'm just wondering why there was no kudos to the queen here. Oh, my God.
All right, so make
Seriously,
sure we get.
Stone, you were my
so,
friend.
Are you looking for?
You're in my picture.
Are you looking for investors? You're looking for physicians. What are you looking for?
Everything, all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, we're nearing, and I cross my fingers. Nothing's done till it's done. But you know, on our hopefully final expansion round of financing, we're looking for $5 million in debt or equity to round that out. We feel very close. We've got more than that on the table. But again, nothing's done till it's done. So, you know, we're definitely interested in pursuing those relationships here in the very near term future to do that, to meet our performance goals.
And you need physicians to use the yes. equipment?
Yes, we do. I mean, we do have a backlog right now, you know, to meet demand. So okay. We are working quickly to get into production so we can meet that demand. Again, we've already exceeded first year projections. So we are working very hard, kind of double time, and things are moving very, very quickly.
And you need patients to request this. That probably helps everything.
The patients are the easy part. I mean, we've got people that are consulting staff through a group, our fund managers, and up in New York. Actually, the guy named Andrew Miniger used to work with Pfizer. He coined the phrase erectile dysfunction. He was the marketing genius behind bringing that consumer awareness of pharmaceuticals where you were driving consumers to the physician.
Right.
So we have a similar advertising and marketing campaign. So both on a wide-scale national level and at a physician local market region level. You know, we're very selective, like you were saying earlier, Lynn, about the, you know, ancillary markets that are created like by McKesson. We're looking at those top medical markets, Atlanta being one of them. You know, we're home to 5 of the top major medical systems out of the top 15 in the country. Atlanta's a prime market for us, and it's in our backyard. So we've been doing a lot of pre-marketing and our focus studies and things here. But 20 major markets, we're looking for exclusively 10 physicians in those top medical markets that could work under our program. So
you're being very selective.
Well, we are. You know, there are rural outlying physicians that have 20 patients, okay? So there's no income opportunity for them, you know? I mean, there's just not.
Right, so you need
from a business perspective,
we need a certain density of patients.
Correct, yeah. So average, we look at physicians that have an 800 patient base, you know, to begin because the numbers average themselves out at that
right.
level. And the numbers are growing. I mean, you know, it's a 2% growth rate in cardiovascular disease diagnoses every year. And that number has grown effectively, you know, a couple of basis points every year for the last 5. So, yay for positive health here in the U.S. So, you know, sadly, somebody said to me the other day, aren't you just making people lazy with your device? I mean, you're just letting them do what they want and then giving them exercise while they sit there for an hour and just kind of enjoy the ride, you know? And I said, hey, I didn't create the situation. We're just here to help solve the problems.
That's
okay,
right.
So in that in a variety of greater ways. So we're all excited to be here.
So,
thank you guys for
and the website, though,
here.
If somebody wants to learn more.
Yes, thank you, Lynn. ADD in action, coming back around. All
That's
right.
right.
InnovaMedECP.com. That's InnovaMedECP.com.
And they can find information on all the stuff you were talking about.
Yes, absolutely. You can call our sales or investor line if you're interested in investment. And our sales CSO, Dave Gregory, you know, he'll direct your questions on a physician level.
Now, Lynn, if people want to learn more about Cracker Jack.
It is Cracker Jack, like the candy popcorn treat, -marketing.com.
And then the Metro Atlanta Chamber?
Metro Atlanta Chamber is, I believe it's metroatlantachamber.com.
That's
as a matter
a good
of fact,
place
Google.
To start.
Google any of them. And then we talked about the summit email address. But, you know, the best place for them to go would be come back here to Business Radio X where they're going to find some great
That's
links.
That's right, every week. All right, this is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Disruptive Health.